having grandfather experience. I completely understand. Don't worry about a thing. Steve, you mentioned all the things that were happening in the world, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of things that's happening, and all these different isms and all these different philosophies that are running around. Sometimes we question, you know, is what we do, we have a right? Do we have an exclusive legitimacy? Think of it that way, an exclusive legitimacy with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And of course, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which reminds us that we do. But how will people know? Well, I hope to touch on that. And this is going to count for two. This is going to be not only the sermon, but the scripture reading as well. So I start first with Mark 14, verses 22 through 25. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood," said Jesus, "blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." So this reminds us of a tangible, of a real-time event that happened, where Jesus died on the cross, where his body becomes the bread that we eat, and his blood becomes the soul nourishment that we drink in through trusting Jesus as our Savior. And of course, the Holy Spirit fills us up with a living water, as Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, a living water that wells up from within, and I'm so glad it does. And I know you are too, because we so often run dry in this world. But what do we do to show other people that we are the real deal? I'm going to start with John chapter 13, verse 33. "My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." Of course, that really upset the apostles and the people who were there. And we could understand why. They had been with him all this time, and they believed him that he was the Messiah. But what they didn't get was that he had come to do the most important, perhaps the most important thing. There's a lot of important things in the ministry of Jesus, but perhaps the most important thing, what good would it do if he had come here and had not gone to the cross? Well, yes, it would have been nice to have the Holy Son of God preaching and teaching and telling everybody all about the nice things to do, but we know that he gave his body and he shed his blood so that he could atone for our sins. But the apostles were understandably troubled. Jesus said, John 14, 1 through 6, and these are verses I know you know, but it's always good for us to remember these things. "Do not let your hearts be troubled." That's hard to do nowadays, isn't it? With every crazy thing that's going on. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? Look at the last few chapters of Revelation if you want to read about that house. Oh, buddy, that's going to be something. That is going to be something. I think it's, if I need to remind myself nowadays, I don't have that recall that I would like to have. But I think the New Jerusalem is going to be 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and believe it or not, 1,500 miles high. And the walls are going to be of a substance that they refer to as jasper, which really doesn't have a definite color. It can be depending on context. But I like to think that jasper represents a diamond. Now, ladies, you know how beautiful diamonds are. Can you imagine a diamond that big with all the dwelling places that will be in there? Many rooms in that mansion. I mean, it's and where is it going to be? Of course, it's going to be where God said he would make his dwelling place forever, Jerusalem. That's where it's going to be. And it's not going to be who's Jewish. It's not going to be who's Gentile. It's not going to be who's American. It's not going to be who's Polish. It's not going to be who is from the Congo. And by the way, pray, and pray some more for your brothers and sisters in Africa, in the Congo, in Nigeria, and elsewhere. Because our Christian brothers in Christ have been marked for extinction. And it's so sad. It's so sad. And Jesus goes on to say, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, of course, that is the importance of the Lord's Supper, remembering that Jesus has established himself as the legitimate way to eternal life, the legitimate way into the kingdom of God, and the legitimate way to have a relationship with God himself. You know, the first words in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, Our Father. That's all of us. That's all of us. And that ought to produce in us a love that's beyond understanding. And I just, as I look back over, I read through it, and of course it's easy, especially you watch The Chosen or whatever. And it's easy to get a sense of like, guys, what are you thinking about? You know what was going to happen. You should be celebrating. You should be rejoicing. But Jesus said that what was about to happen to him would be like a woman giving birth. So there's so much pain beforehand, but afterwards all that's forgotten with the joy of a newborn baby. And so it was, because when Jesus rose from the dead, their joy knew no bounds. Read what Mary Magdalene had to say in the Gospel of John. Boy, joy, 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 joy. But until we open our hearts and receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord, who was crucified for our sakes, we don't get it. So Jesus understands that, and that's why he warned us about the deceptive religious philosophies that would come our way. Now, Jesus is the one that David spoke of in the 23rd Psalm, which you know rather well, and I'm not trying to stir any issues, but speaking of exclusive, I love the regal elegance of the King James Version. But at the same time, I would not insist on King James or any specific version of the Bible. And I think Pastor Kevin was right to move the church on to the New International Version, because it takes away the stumbling blocks. It's hard for people to understand King James English today. So we want to take away stumbling blocks, and we want to be sure that our young people and the people are new, who are new to Christianity, don't have language standing in the way of their understanding. But here is the King James in all of its elegance. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And our good shepherds warned us that false teachers would arise. It's a section of Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 13. Jesus said, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumor of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are but the beginning of birth pangs." And some of you may know that Pastor Tim Marbury, his wife Linda does a Revelation study on Tuesday nights, and we've been going through all this. But when you just based on this language right here, you know, we're right there. Now, exactly when, where, how, you know, exactly all of that, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, not for us to know. In other words, none of your business. And I'm glad, because I wouldn't want to know the date. Caused so much confusion and misunderstanding, and said, "Oh, well, I got plenty of time," like the bridesmaids in Matthew. I think that's the last of 24. Might be 25, but I think it's the last of 24. They didn't take enough oil in their lamps, so half of them ran out. But the ones that were smart, the ones that were wise, as the Bible says, they took sufficient oil so they could keep the light burning. So when the midnight call came, in favor of the rapture, in favor of the Lord coming, and the examples he gives, Jesus keeps repeating. At midnight, when the call rang out, I believe there's a song along those lines, the midnight call, the midnight cry, excuse me, midnight cry. And he also says, the master of the house had been away a long time. Well, with all these things happening, it sounds like the master of the house is getting ready to come back. So, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And many will turn away from the faith and will betray each other. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, there are several isms and religions and churches and other things. I'll just mention a few here. We know about the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. They recently had an incredible tragedy occur when, for reasons that nobody clearly understands, other than maybe he had a, because the Mormons tend to be nitpicky. They really do. And it, maybe he had some grudge with people in the church. Don't know. But that was no excuse for what he did. Of course, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and satanic cults of many varieties. Now, the one that really rocked my boat was the other day when I was watching a certain bunch of grandbabies watching the TV, and I saw these people crawling on the ground, young people crawling on the ground, all over the ground, in the yard, across the sidewalk, and everything else. I said, what in the world is going on here? And they said, if you see people doing this, lock your doors. Well, that's almost a no-brainer. But what in the world is going on? Now, it could be, I thought about it afterwards, maybe it wasn't some kind of satanic cult. Perhaps they were trying to trick the homeowner into opening and unlocking their door to go out and see what was going on. Boy, that would sure get your attention. Would you want to run out there? What is wrong with you people? Oops. Mistake. That's the world we live in today. That's the country we live in today. That things like this can happen. So lock your doors. We can say that Jesus is the only way to receive eternal life. But how will people know that we are legitimate? How will people know that we are real? We'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. I'll read that anyway. And then go right on through verse 13 of chapter 13. And I know most of you have heard this before, but we always need to go back and remember. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Paul didn't stutter there. The most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And I have to believe that if the Apostle Paul were riding with me somewhere in my car and heard one of these big trucks go down the road with those mega exhausts and it went, I say, yeah, senseless noise like that. If we speak in tongues but don't have love, we have nothing. If I have the gift a prophecy and could fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, the rest disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And Jesus tells us plainly in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have loved you." Boy, we need a lot of help. We need a lot of grace and mercy to love each other as Jesus loved us. But that's what Jesus calls on us to do. And here's the kicker in verse 35. "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And again in chapter 15, Jesus reiterates, and any time God says something twice, you better believe it's important. Chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends." This is Jesus speaking to all of us. "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." And that applies to us just as much as it did the apostles. "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Oh, yes, he chose you and me. "And appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." And then to say it for the third time, "This is my command: love each other." And I'd like to think that verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13 is amen to what Jesus had to say. "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." If you want to know, if you want to be able to show people that you're the real deal here at Grace Baptist, love one another. And let that love resound in everything you do. Yes, we have disagreements, and they happen because communication is bad. People like me have bad hearing, and sometimes I just don't always understand. And believe me, it's humiliating to have to ask somebody for the third time, "I don't understand what you said." You have to say it three times. You know, that's humiliating. But Jesus has told us, and Paul has told us plainly, to love one another, because it is the greatest thing. And when people see the love, then it would be, of course, a shame just to keep that in here. But when we go to Food Lion, when we go to whatever the store may be, when we go to just pick a place anywhere, when you're out and about, we go to Lunchbox, wherever you may go, let the light of the love of God's love shine through you. Don't return hate with hate, but return love for the hate that you've been shown. It's a hard thing to do, but remember, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. And if we will be obedient to him and ask for his blessing, ask for God's help to love as he has loved us, people will know that you have the exclusive and legitimate way to heaven here at this church. Let us pray. Most holy Father in heaven, indeed, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, without your Spirit filling our hearts, Holy Father, it would be impossible. But Father, all things are possible through you. So Lord, help us to love others as you love us. And help us to show others by the way that we live that Jesus Christ is the exclusive and legitimate way to the kingdom of God and to eternal life. Lord Jesus, in your precious name we pray. Amen.